Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The president wants, Toby, the president wants Iran to come to the table. He wants to negotiate with Iran. He doesn't want war. But he also won't allow them to become this, he won't allow them to engage in nuclear blackmail, disrupt global oil markets, and continue to terrorize their own people.
Kellyanne Conway, and I think some cicadas. What was that in the background of that?
Yeah, some cicadas.
Cicadas? Something really summery.
She was outside talking.
Talking about warfare and sweet summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So we just in the last hour or so got to see the president speaking about new sanctions that he is going to be imposing on Iran. You'll remember that last week we heard the story about we're going to attack Iran, military strikes imminent, 10 minutes before go time. President Trump says, no, stop, pull back. I'm going to give you my thoughts on that here in a minute. But I also want to let you hear in on what the president was saying earlier, just about an hour ago, about these sanctions.
Sanctions imposed through the executive order that I'm about to sign will deny the Supreme Leader and the Supreme Leader's office and those closely affiliated with him and the office access to key financial resources and support. The assets of Ayatollah Khomeini and his office will not be spared from the sanctions. These measures represent a strong and proportionate response to Iran's increasingly provocative actions. We will continue to increase pressure on Tehran until the regime abandons its dangerous activities and aspirations, including the pursuit of nuclear weapons, increased enrichment of uranium, development of ballistic missiles, engagement in and support for terrorism, fueling of foreign conflicts, and belligerent acts directed against the United States and its allies.
Well, if anybody ever had any questions about President Trump and when he goes off script and when he's reading something, he read every word of that. Mm-hmm. That was very particular language. He talked about it being a proportional response. So we find out he signs this executive order. This is in the midst of being engaged and putting out a military strike that was, as he said, cocked and ready to roll. And then he decides at the last minute to pull it back. So, Tony, just kind of sum up for us what we know about these sanctions, what the president is going to try to achieve by putting this, in his words, proportional response to the drone attack among the other attacks on allied ships that we've seen so far.
So he, you know, we've had sanctions on Iran and others in that area that have been working with Iran for a while now, but basically, these have ratcheted up those on any country or group or leadership that is providing anything to Iran. So it's making it more difficult for them to get financial help or resources from anywhere else in the region. The Treasury Department, along with that quote that the that you just played from the president, the Treasury Department released a news release today saying any foreign financial institution that knowingly facilitates a significant financial transaction for entities designated under this executive order could be cut off from the U.S. financial system. So basically, anybody that helps Iran, you're cut off. You don't get any anything from the United States. We will not play your game in any way. Also, Fox News has confirmed that the U.S. military carried out a cyber attack against Iran last week. So we know the president stopped his plan for airstrikes, but sources and the U.S. Cyber Command launched a cyber attack targeting the Iranian intelligence and radar installations that were used to shoot down that Navy drone. So a cyber attack and increased sanctions, definitely tensions are still running high and ratcheting up with the United States and Iran.
Any possibility, and I was kind of chatting with Katie about this via Messenger earlier today, any possibility in your mind, Tony, that the military strike that was supposed to happen last week that the president pulled back on 10 minutes before it was to strike and kill 150 people was the plan all along, for the president to be put into a position where the president gets to be the guy who saves the lives of 150 Iranians in a disproportionate strike? Well, how does America usually respond to these things? We bomb something. And there is absolutely an argument that can be made to do that. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that if he would have allowed said strike to happen and not called it off 10 minutes before, that it would have been wrong. I also don't know that I have all the information to assess it either way.
Right.
And I'm not going to pretend that I do. However, for the president to be the guy who steps in 10 minutes before, and what is the story that we keep hearing? I feel like if I were listening to the Democrats talk and I kept hearing the same story repeated over and over in a very similar fashion, I feel like that is something that is planned. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not criticizing the president. I think it's actually a pretty smart move. If it happened exactly the way it did and nobody knew that he was going to call it off 10 minutes before, okay, fine. That's very within the realm of possibility. But think about this for a second. If the situation that is taking place in Iran would normally be met with a strike by the United States, and deservedly so, if President Trump is the guy who deals with other countries and the way they go about their business as usual with the thing that he knows really well, the economy and business and money, he's imposed tons of sanctions on Iran already. We haven't gotten other people in the area as on board as we would like them to be. So what you don't want to have happen is for the United States to go bomb someone again and be doing that all on their own. It seems to me, on the global scale, when we've been reacting to decades of conflict in that region, that the thing that frustrates Americans as a whole, collectively on both sides of the aisle, is that we feel like we're doing this on our own. And if we had support, it's just like anytime you walk into, even if you're dealing with something in your life, like if you're dealing with alcoholism, it feels a lot better to handle a problem that exists in your life when you have support around you. The support makes it easier for you to be accountable, and it makes it easier for you to rectify a problem. When the United States goes in to try to fix this perpetual problem, this conflict that is in the Middle East, first of all, I don't believe it will ever be completely fixed. I don't think that it needs to be contained and managed. We need the support of our allies in the region. Those same allies that are getting their ships blown out of the water by Iran, we need full support from other countries. So if the president gets to be the guy who says, this time we are not going to do what we normally do, I'm pulling back, he gets to now be at center stage, the one guy saying, I'm going to hold off on this. I know this isn't how we would normally do this, but I am not going to take those estimated 150 lives about retaliation for this drone that was shot out of the sky, which, again, I am not suggesting at all would be disproportionate. The president has put himself in a position to be somebody who could potentially be supported for the actions of not striking militarily. Now we find out this week that these sanctions are being imposed heavily. I think it makes the global community be able to say, we didn't really want to be involved with 150 Iranian deaths in response to the zero American deaths in that specific drone strike. But we can get behind sanctions to get Iran in a position where they have no choice but to come to the table, if that's even ever a possibility. And if it's not a possibility and a military strike is down the road, now you've done, it's like you have exhausted all of these options and you've put the president in a position to use the best military in the entire world to take care of whatever business it needs to take care of with the support of the global community. So was the story that we've heard, and we continue to hear quite a bit of it, of him saying 10 minutes before the strike was supposed to happen, no, change my mind, never mind, I'm out, stop, pull him back. Was that as it sounds there, or was this potentially some sort of purposeful maneuver by the administration to get people to come to the table? Those are two narratives about the same story, which is where the media that has an agenda behind it is so incredibly important, because they can take either one of those stories and put it in front of you and repeat it 24 hours a day on all of the agenda-driven media outlets out there and report this news story with the expert opinions of other people who want to trash this president. So they can lead that narrative. They can use the story. You see how, like, you know, I'm not some brilliant military mind. I'm not somebody who is, you know in any way, shape, or form regarding these issues any more than you are right now eating your lunch. But I can tell you that story, and I can give you my opinion, and I can tell you how maybe this was a potential way that the president did something very noble, very smart, to try to effect some real change without shooting off a bomb. I can make that case for you. But we haven't seen that. We continue to hear that the president is irresponsible, is bumbling us into a war. Listen to Pete Buttigieg.
Right now, we are in an extremely dangerous moment. The president of the United States has trouble making decisions and is relatively easy to manipulate. The Congress of the United States has expressed relatively little interest until recently in its own legal war powers. The position of Secretary of Defense of the United States is vacant. Iran is seeking to exploit all of these dynamics, and we are isolated from our allies. This is exactly the kind of recipe that could lead to an escalation and a confrontation that would, in the end, be outside of the control of both U.S. and Iranian leaders, which is exactly what we've got to prevent.
So you listen to Pete Buttigieg there saying that Trump has trouble making decisions, suggesting he's relatively easy to manipulate. I'll tell you who's relatively easy to manipulate is the mainstream media. All Donald Trump has to do is tweet, and he can put the mainstream media into a frenzy until his next tweet, when he sends them off on a wild goose chase in a different direction. They don't get it. The mainstream media does not get that. They don't understand that. And I would say that for Pete Buttigieg and for Chuck Schumer and the other people who get on their platform and make these types of statements, who suggest that the president is hapless in his decision-making process, is likely without any or all of the information, is detrimental to our country and to our safety. But they don't care about that because they want to win an election. They're more concerned about the ability to make Trump look like he is a bumbling idiot and to win a vote off of that than they are to make sure that whatever we do in Iran is the right thing to do. I get really tired of it. I think that you listen to Chuck Schumer and you listen to the way he reacts to these specific things, and I think it becomes very frustrating on a routine basis to hear that type of talk in a public nature where Schumer knows full well that the public does not understand all of the information. They just understand what bits and pieces they have. So when by the time it gets to us, it's pretty much just political, you know, chatter. It's just an opportunity for the left to once again make a political statement out of the president at the cost of military operation.
The president may not intend to go to war here, but we're worried that he and the administration may bumble into a war.
Oh, Schumer's real worried about us. Thanks, Chuck. Glad you're out there Wouldn't know what to do by myself if you didn't tell me that we should be worried that our president is going to bumble us into a war. It's gross, and I hate it, and it makes me mad. But anyway.
Anyway. Makes me mad.
Yeah. It's a lot to talk about today. That kind of, like, took over the initial part of the show. But we're real glad you're here. We'll be here till 3 p.m., and then Dave Glover's taking over. Big guest today for Dave Glover at 5:10 is going to be talking to one Bill O'Reilly. I know many of you are a huge fan of his, and that's a great get for Dave Glover. So make sure you are listening at 5:10 because that's going to be a really interesting interview. Coming up next, we have the highlights at 12:40. So this is all packed into this hour. We're going to talk to Dr. Stephen Bucci with the Heritage Foundation about his reaction to these sanctions, this Iranian response that President Trump has had. And I'm going to ask him how calculated he thinks this whole process has been. So stay tuned to that. Big day at 97.1, but that's every day here at 97.1. And we are very glad that you are along with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. So we were just discussing the Iran sanctions that the president has announced via executive order. And in about 10 minutes, we are going to be speaking with somebody who knows a lot more about this than I do. Admittedly so, because I would never lie to you. Dr. Stephen Bucci with the Heritage Foundation is going to discuss the executive order, the sanctions, and I'm going to ask him, is this a more measured response than the initial strike that the president pulled back on? Is this more proportional? Because that's what the president said, and I think it'll be interesting to see how he reacts to that. So stick around for that. We're going to get back to that. But a lot happening here locally and on the national front as well. We want to get down to all of the latest headlines.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
Ya boy, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Who's this boy? Is that? I have too many boys.
That's your boy.
I can't keep track of all of them.
Proposed a plan today to eliminate all $1.6 trillion in student debt held by Americans by levying a tax on Wall Street banks. Speaking outside the Capitol building and flanked by Representative Ilhan Omar, Sanders called for the elimination of all student loan debt held by 54 million Americans from both public and private educations and making public universities, community colleges, and trade schools free to attend. This proposal will make it possible for every person in America to get a college education no matter what their financial situation, Bernie said. He said, "We will make a full and complete education a we will make full and complete education a fundamental right."
No, you won't.
Ilhan Omar, it plans to present a similar bill in the United States Congress as Bernie is presenting in the Senate. Basically, it charges Wall Street banks a tax that
Bernie
says.
And who's going to end up paying that?
The Bernie says we'll raise over $2 trillion in the next 10 years. Some tax experts think that is not an accurate estimation. Bernie says in 2008, the American people bailed out Wall Street. Now it's Wall Street's turn to help the middle class and working class of this country. Over to you, Frank.
I like that your thing hasn't fallen yet.
It's still up.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, he is talking about the ventilation and the guard that Tony put on last week. I could see how it would be
confusing.
Easy to misunderstand.
October of 2020 is when the man accused of killing one woman and sexually assaulting two others at a religious supply store will go to trial. 53-year-old Thomas Bruce of Imperial charged with 17 crimes, including first-degree murder and the death of 53-year-old Jamie Schmidt, who refused to comply with his sexual demands. Bruce is also charged in Jefferson County in an attack on a 77-year-old woman in her home in Hillsborough. He pleaded not guilty to all of those charges. October 2020, he will finally go to trial.
John Lithgow, Alyssa Milano, and many other stars will perform in a play based on the Mueller report. The performers will take the stage tonight for...
What do conservatives do when they're miffed? What do conservatives do? Like, can you imagine conservatives be like, what are we going to do? We're so angry.
Let's put on a play.
That's what we'll do. We'll put on a play and people will come.
And it's called The Investigation, A Search for the Truth in 10 Acts. The play is based on special counsel Robert...
And $25 million.
Right. The performance comes just days after a Washington theater announced it would host an 11-hour reading of the second volume of Mueller's report that deals with possible obstruction of justice committed by President Trump. Mm. Can you believe Alyssa Milano's in it? I mean, wow.
She's got nothing else to
baffled.
Do. How is she going to tweet, though, while she's in the play for 11 hours? Who's manning her Twitter account? I mean, womaning, I guess.
In sports, the Cardinals took 2 out of 3 against the Angels this weekend. The return of Albert Pujols to Busch Stadium for the first time since the 2011 World Series. After winning the first two games, the Birds fell behind on Sunday night, 6-0. They mounted a 4-run ninth inning, but fell short 6-4. The big story, obviously, was the return of Pujols and the love affair he shared with the fans throughout the weekend. Standing ovations at every at-bat, as well as for his home run on Saturday. On Sunday, get this, the Angels had the bases loaded for Albert, already winning 2-0. Chance of Albert were heard during the at-bat. Pujols, of course, popped out shallow right field, but he received another standing ovation. Barring a World Series meeting, it's the last time we'll likely see him playing at Busch. And a St. Louis judge
Unless
is expected...
Unless he retires here.
I think part of his contract is
his deal with Anaheim.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
No.
He could.
And a St. Louis judge is expected to give final approval to the settlement between the former St. Louis Rams and PSL holders today. That agreement calls for 20,000 PSL holders to receive 30% of the price they paid for their tickets. And so far, 43% of those people have already been approved to get some of that money back.
My shirt says a dream is a wish your heart makes, so Sam.
That's when your heart is making.
Yes, exactly. All right,
the Angels would say they have a contract that would...
Yeah, he's like indebted to them even after he's done playing for 10 years.
10 years after he's done playing.
Yeah, I know.
We're still dreaming.
I know.
So you would accept a one-day contract 10 years after he's done playing so he could retire a Cardinal?
Sure.
Stranger things have happened.
Sure. I was there on Friday
night.
That's
what I was going to say. And he got to go to the game. Huzzah!
It just seems true.
Thank God.
Charge.
I don't believe anybody says huzzah at games.
I don't believe anybody says huzzah.
That's a creek in central Missouri that Tony's been on.
Well, you know
I've
what?
Been on the huzzah. I think that when to be present for those games, you felt something that was really awkward and bizarre. And the love affair that St. Louis does have for Albert Pujols, I am so very glad that it ended up manifesting itself that way. There, I shared it to the Facebook page, and I would really highly recommend you check it out. I don't know, maybe we'll play it. Maybe we'll play it later in the show, because I have not seen a better assessment of the scenario that exists in St. Louis with Albert Pujols. Basically, I think it was from MLB Network. It explains that Albert leaving St. Louis was probably the best way to preserve his legacy in the city and to make it so that when Albert Pujols did have the opportunity to come back into the stadium and not have played here for 8 years, you consider the fact that Albert Pujols' last playoff game that he participated in was the World Series championship in 2011. And I believe, I can't remember what the statistic is, I think it was that he played it. The last time he played in 100 games was 5 years ago. I mean, the Albert Pujols of the last 8 years is not the Albert Pujols at all that St. Louis had for 11 seasons. And we have had the pleasure of preserving for all of time in St. Louis Albert Pujols, Rookie of the Year, in his first year here. He goes to Maplewoods Community College, gets drafted 402nd. And in the 14th round, 12th round, something like that, he's a 402nd draft pick, spends 1 year in the minors, and then becomes the National League Rookie of the Year and enjoys 2 World Series championships in those 11 years. It's like the most prosperous 11 years that a player could have in the game at one team. And also to think about this, even to this day, Albert Pujols still has more walks than strikeouts. When you consider the power hitter that he is, Katie, I'm sorry if I'm I'm looking at you. When you consider the
glazing over just a little,
the power hitter that he is, to think that, you know, a lot of times with that power comes big whiffs that just go down in the books as a K. And he has not experienced that. He's a contributor of great proportions over the lifetime of his career, and St. Louis absolutely got the best of that.
His batting average in 11 years in St. Louis .328.
Oh,
and his batting average in 8 years in L.A. .259.
I think it averages out to like .301 potentially is his career. Do you know what his career batting average is?
Yeah, it should be here.
I mean, it's
.301.
.301. So I mean, to think that he's gonna
definitely play his way out of the 300. Batting average.
And I career. Think his home run this year was like 625 or 626 home runs in his career. I mean, these next few years that he has left, or couple years that he has left on his contract, he is going to be breaking or setting records or putting himself in a class of very, very few people. So the next few years are going to be exciting for Albert Pujols in that sense. It's like when Barry Bonds would come up to bat, even though I despised him. You know, every at-bat was a chance for another home run on the board. Cal Ripken shows up in a baseball game, puts on his jersey, goes out and starts. It's, every game is another opportunity to see history made. And St. Louis, like the portion of those statistics that you can look up on Albert Pujols, and see that balance of walks and strikeouts, and see that he has a career .301 average, and know that's a career average where 8 of the last years have not even been in St. Louis, and he's batting .259 right now. That just shows how great he was while he was here. And when he goes up to bat, and we were at the game Friday, and then I watched the instances happen over the weekend, and he hits that home run, the stands went crazy. I mean, it's bizarre. But I put this on Facebook too. I was at in Father's Day in some year at Busch too. I can't remember what year it was, when Ken Griffey Jr. hit his 500th home run. Another instance where every at bat, everybody is, you know, waiting with bated breath to see if this is going to be the instance. I was at Busch Stadium, Old Busch, and it was Father's Day, and Ken Griffey Sr. was in the building, and Ken Griffey Jr. is up to bat with the Cincinnati Reds, and he hits that 500th home run. And all of St. Louis stood up and applauded for him because they understood that they saw baseball history, and St. Louis loves baseball. Even the people who don't love the game and the nerdiness of some of the things that I'm talking about still love the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals still mean something to them. And the game is always bigger than the player. That's how the Cardinals didn't sign Albert Pujols at the end of the 2011 season, which culminated in a world championship. So Ken Griffey Jr. hits that 500th home run and St. Louis stands up for him. Of course they're going to stand up for Albert Pujols. He gave the city so much. And I was very grateful for the opportunity to make it to the game, which we did make.
So even, happy about it.
Even though my husband told me at 2 p.m. that day that he had washed our tickets.
All worked out.
It was all fine. I said it was going to be fine. I was cool. We had a little conversation on the air last week about that, and everything turned out just fine. When we come back, we're going to speak with the visiting fellow for Special Ops and Disaster Management at the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Stephen Bucci. We're going to talk about the Iran sanctions the president has just put on, and how does he assess this proportional response? Is it one? And what is the next move between President Trump, the United States, and Iran? That as soon as we return. And Stephen Moore at 1:10. I cannot wait to ask him about free education for everyone and Bernie Sanders' like multi-trillion dollar plan to just, you know, bibbidi-bobbidi make those student loans go away. It's like the fairy godmother. Everything's...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Starts to make sense now. Where does he keep his magic wand anyway?
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Sanctions imposed through the executive order that I'm about to sign will deny the Supreme Leader and the Supreme Leader's office and those closely affiliated with him and the office access to key financial resources and support. The assets of Ayatollah Khomeini and his office will not be spared from the sanctions. These measures represent a strong and proportionate response to Iran's increasingly provocative actions. We will continue to increase pressure on Tehran until the regime abandons its dangerous activities and aspirations, including the pursuit of nuclear weapons, increased enrichment of uranium, development of ballistic missiles, engagement in and support for terrorism, fueling of foreign conflicts, and belligerent acts directed against the United States and its allies.
President Trump speaking today about the sanctions he has been imposed on Iran. We remember last week the pullback of the initial military strike that was going to take place. As we have heard the story 10 minutes before it was supposed to occur, President Trump pulled back. And today we hear him referring to these sanctions as a strong and proportionate response to Iran's actions. Here to discuss this from an expert level, we have Dr. Stephen Bucci on with us. Very excited to have you on. You are the visiting fellow for Special Ops and Disaster Management at the Heritage Foundation. Doctor, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
So when you heard, you're very welcome. When you heard the president speaking of these sanctions, especially in the wake of last week's news story that we were going to have a military strike, the president pulls back on it. Do you agree that this is the strong and proportionate response to the actions of Iran, or do you think that military strike was necessary?
No, I think there's clearly room to add one step to the process, which the president did. I think it was a pretty nuanced set of messages being sent to Iran. You know, he had a diplomatic message that went out through the Omanis. We did all the preparation and mobilization for the strike, which assets can see that, you know, people like the Russians and the Iranians themselves. So they knew it was real, put them on edge, but then backed off on it and went with the stronger sanctions instead. All of that is kind of interesting messaging to the Iranians that we are serious, but we're not looking for a war. We're just trying to get them to change this bad behavior.
Yeah, I feel that. I can tell that the president pulling back on those strikes and being very public about the fact that we were on the brink and we decided, no, we're going to do this one, I don't know, maybe one last opportunity to do this without engaging in military strikes, does show the president is taking this very seriously and has restraint. Now, the mainstream media, a lot of the people who we hear talking on our cable news channels and in the punditry out there, a lot of people are suggesting that the president is easy to manipulate, making impulsive decisions. Do you believe that this president is not able to make up his mind, and that's why the military strike got pulled back?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. Presidents of both parties go through this exact same process whenever there's a crisis like this. They give the order to start making plans, to start mobilizing forces, and then they continue to analyze that decision up until it's time to execute it, in which case, a lot of times, presidents say, you know what, I don't think we need to swat them yet. Let's try something else first. And they have the people stand down. It doesn't mean everything goes in a garbage can. It doesn't mean this is wasted effort. But it's a pretty daunting decision to make, to send people into combat, to kill people, whether they're the enemy or your own folks at risk. You know, the only one who has that responsibility on their shoulder is the President of the United States. So all the pundits, most of which have never been in a classified briefing before, have never had that kind of burden on their shoulders. They really need to back off a little bit because they're talking through their hats. And I think the president did a very reasonable thing. He could have gone with the strike. He chose not to, showing restraint, showing the fact that he doesn't want to start a bigger conflict. He just wants Iran to behave like a reasonable member of the community of nations.
Yeah, we're speaking with visiting fellow for special ops and disaster management at the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Stephen Bucci. You bring up the fact that he could have gone through with those strikes. Would it have been an imbalanced response to launch a strike that would kill 150 Iranians in the wake of an attack on United States assets and allies that killed no Americans?
I think it would have been pushing the envelope. I don't think it would have been considered a war crime or an unprovoked attack, but it is at the upper end of that kind of response. No one's died on our side, so we would be the first ones drawing blood, to put it kind of viscerally. But I think it still would have been a legitimate response, but I think what he did probably, one, fits his background and the positions he's held before more accurately. And for the folks that are saying, the same people that were complaining that he was reckless and, a loose cannon and, oh my gosh, he's going to get us in a war with Iran, are the same ones that are now complaining that he showed restraint. So, they really need, they can't have it both ways. And in this case, I think, and a lot of experts, not just me, not just people at Heritage, think he did the right thing here. Now, if there's another provocation from Iran, I think you'll see a pretty robust response, and they're going to get swatted pretty hard this next time. But he gave them that extra chance to be reasonable, and that's, I think, presidential.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. At least from where we sit here, it seems as though he is not looking for an opportunity to launch strikes. He's being very reserved about it. Dr. Bucci, I want to ask you about the sanctions that have been discussed today about from the president. We've had sanctions on Iran before. What's different? What has President Trump done that elevated those sanctions today compared to what had been in place already?
Well, first of all, remember, we used to have a whole bunch of really effective sanctions, probably the most effective sanctions regime we've ever had in the modern period on Iran. The Obama administration precipitously pulled those all off, ended them as soon as Iran said, we want to come to the table. And, Iran is ticked now, to put it bluntly, that, they feel like they swindled us fair and square in the nuke deal, and they're mad that President Trump threw all of that in the trash can and put the sanctions back on. We've got allies who were not thrilled about that, but are coming along because we told them, you either go along with the sanctions or we're going to sanction you. And that's what has really caused Iran to get hostile, is they want this to stop. The president, instead of stopping correctly, is adding to that, specifically targeting the finances of the rulers of Iran and their ability to do deals and move money around. And that's a pretty powerful tool that is very targeted. That is not likely to hurt the people of Iran, but is really going to put the squeeze on the leadership. That's a good move. It's additive to what's already been done. And I think, and I hope, because nobody wants to see us go to combat, I think it's going to get them to move, hopefully, in the right direction.
What kind of support do we have from the global community right now? And are there specific countries, specific allies that we are putting extra pressure on to get behind us in these efforts to get Iran to act appropriately?
We depend on the Europeans mostly because they do so much business with Iran, or they have been since the sanctions came off under President Obama. We're also putting pressure on Japan. We've given them a pass on the sort of counter sanctions part of it because they get so much of their oil from there. But they took a big hit when those two ships were damaged by the Iranians, and it's clear it was the Iranians. It wasn't a false flag operation that the Trump administration did. That's nonsensical. Our primary allies in the world, Europe, the Japanese in Asia, those are the people we're putting pressure on to say, look, we need your help on this if we want Iran to change. Obviously, the Sunni part of the Muslim world is also working with us because they consider Iran not just a mild threat, but an existential threat to them and to peace in the Middle East. So we're gathering our allies together, trying to get them all on board. There's a lot of financial pressures on them not to go along with us because they'd like to do some business with Iran. But until Iran changes its ways, it's going to cost them if they choose to do that.
Well, Dr. Bucci, thank you so much for providing some insight to this important story as we hear today, and we will be watching very closely the president's actions going forward. Very grateful to have your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hopefully talk to him soon as we continue, because this is going to develop quite a bit over the course of time. We have Stephen Moore coming up next here in about 10 minutes. Stephen Moore, chief economist at the Heritage Foundation, also has been a financial advisor to the president and his administration, is going to talk to us. I cannot wait to ask him about Bernie Sanders' brilliant fairy godmother plan to make all student loan debt just disappear. That's going to be coming up here in about 10 minutes. And also, we are going to get the full story from Tony, as we know it right now, about the tragedy of this officer being shot in Wellston. I mean, good grief, Tony. The story is so sad. And we get the updates from you?
Yep, absolutely.
When we come back as well. So we're paying attention to that story, the Iran discussion regarding these sanctions happening within an hour of our show starting, and that really took over the show, but we want to make sure we get to that story as well. Our hearts and thoughts and prayers out to the family of that officer, both wearing blue and at home, and his children. So sad. We'll be back with Stephen Moore in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.